at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community.
Today is Christmas, and I wonder if we fully grasp the simultaneous expression of grief and sacrifice marked by this season. Imagine heaven before the world began, with God, perfect and eternal, surrounded by glory and worship. Now imagine the earth, with man doomed, confused, corrupt, a lost sheep. Imagine the Son, Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, the authority, the power, the splendor, angels crying holy day and night. Now imagine the sons of men in their filth and deceit, in their pride and conceit, in their folly, lacking wisdom and foresight. Also imagine the nature of man, fallen, depraved, slavish, wicked, evil, and knavish. Now consider the purity of Yahweh, the perfection of his glory, the righteousness of his being. Further consider his majesty, the beauty of his divinity, the profundity of his glory, both the seen and the unseen. Now reconcile all this with his birth in a manger. Baby Jesus becoming a fugitive of King Herod's soldiers. What about his exile to Egypt? Think of it for a minute. The Son of God, bright and morning star, the almighty and all-powerful, running for his life. Sincerely, I wonder if we fully grasp the expression of grace and sacrifice marked by this season. To save mankind, he became a man. For our sins, he became sinful. For our debt, he became a debtor. For our death, he came to die. To redeem us, he became a captive. Never a story of love and sacrifice like the Christmas story. The story of a king who became a subject of a soldier.
Oh, you're slick. You investors in hate. You Saddams and you Bushes, you Bin Ladens and snakes, you billionaire bullies, you a globalized curse. You put war on the masses and then you clean out the purse. And that's how it's done. War after war, you old feudal parasites, you just sacrifice the poor. You got the cutting edge weapons, but your scam's still the same as it's been since the Romans. Yo, it's the Patriot game. Yo, that's the war racket. It's the war racket. It's the war racket. It's the war racket. You twisters of language. You creeps of disguise. Yeah, disinformation. It's like worms in your eyes. You privileged bankers. You gambler thieves, you profit on war. You think it's just less money in peace. So that's how it's done. Time after time, country after country, and crime after crime. You pretend it's religion, like there's no one to blame for the dead and impoverished in your little patriot game. Honey, that's the war racket. That's the war racket. That's the war racket. That's the war racket.
I pray for a day like today, bright and shining. Soca glory, everyone with a flag and a smile on their face. Lordy daddy, of every creed and race, Lord.
of the atmosphere.
If the Lord is our shepherd, who shall be fear?
No one.
The party starts down here at 515 Portage Avenue at the University of Winnipeg, 4.5 floor, Centennial Manitoba Hall. Look out the call. This is Ras Rikwai with Prince Ogona, Princess Chim Sulam, Queen Victoria, Dr. T, and John, who is here but never here. But also here at times is Princess Rachel, and always here, almost all the time, well, except this morning, is Princess Catherine. Look out, look out. We come in hard, we come in bad. Right up until 8 a.m. this morning, when we'll make way for the wooden spoon. Love and kindness, things coming soon.
We are blessed by the best, I suggest. We thank the Father.
Where can we find our liberty? In this hard time of democracy. Who or what decides our destiny? In the hands of men who create misery. Men enslaved by lust, greed, no harmony. Ain't no room for love, no sympathy. Gentle weapons made to destroy I man. Like they're trying to disrupt this human plan.
Human plan.
What man really needs in life is faith.
One thing.
That your Zion gate. Try to take away something from this world. Instead of living for senseless gain. What my lady needs in life is love.
One love.
And that's a lion gate. Look here. Yeah. We ain't ready. Have no time to sit and wait. The struggle shall be a bitter day.
And you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. And the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
Yeah.
Manitoba shelves, but only for a limited time.
And the idea is we're putting up about $1 million worth of this U.S. booze for sale, and that'll result in $500,000 getting donated to the cheerboards in Winnipeg. Brandon Thompson.
Premier Wab Kanu made the announcement this morning on Virgin Radio, noting a backstock of U.S. alcohol previously pulled from Liquor Mart shelves will go on sale Monday. Vendors, restaurants, and private wine stores will get first crack at the U.S. products, and then what's left will go on sale to the general public Wednesday.
We're not reordering any of the American booze. When you talk to the Americans, this is one of the things that they actually noticed that we've done so far. It's a big irritant.
The premier says the ban on U.S. liquor will remain in effect. It was implemented in February in response to U.S. President Donald Trump's tariffs.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Talking. In a corner, I hear a groaning. In a corner, I hear a groaning. Oh, in a corner. Songs of a cute representation in the Best Village Folk Festival in Trinidad and Tobago.
Miss Claire, take the back of your head, my dear, on this way, Miss Flo. Evening breeze a blow. Help down ya, after you no be so burdened by, rest yourself at ease. Believe
and a little piece of Jamaican food. I hope people enjoy the
evening time. Work is over now, it's evening time. With the walk on mountain, the walk on mountain, the walk on mountain side. Make me cook the big up on the wheel. Make me eat and sing dance and play ring ding on the mountain side. Catch up the fire, Amata. Pass me the gungu peas, rub up the flour, Sarah. Lord, feel the evening breeze. Evening time, work is over now, it's evening time. With the walk on mountain, the walk on mountain, the walk on mountain side. Make we cook the bacon funny way. Make we eat and sing dance and play ring ding on the mountain side. Come, Master Joe, take the back of your head, my son. Come this way, Master Joe. Evening breeze up blow. Help down ya, after you know be so burdensome. Rest yourself at ease, feeling.
Hi, I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake up show.
Make we put the big up on the way. Make we eat and sing down to play.
So sweet like sugar, cookies, bacon.
Oh, yeah.
Got my PJs on and my favorite song, you'll be slaying.
Hey.
Yeah. 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 Yeah
mistletoe. Hey. Sleigh riding out in the snow. Hot cocoa, that's how I roll. Let's go.
Ain't been cold yet. Ho, 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 but we don't play no games. Santa Claus pockets full of Christmas change. Sleigh ride through the hood with the heat on my lap. Christmas stocking stuffed with that cash stack. Rudolph's nose red, but my eyes stay bright. Christmas morning serving, everything's tight. Gift wrap bundles under my Christmas tree. North Pole Connect, got that green for cheap. Jingle all the way to the blockhouse spot. Christmas bells ringing when the streets get hot. Silent night, money night, that's the code. Christmas paper flowing on this hustle, don't stop. West Coast Christmas with that piece on top. Big boss dog got the whole hood blessed. Christmas in the streets for shizzle, we the best.
Ho, ho, hey! Santa's coming down the block, you know. Let's go. Christmas lights are putting on a show. Got the stockings hanging by the tree. Feel the snow. West Coast Christmas, that's the way to be. Spread love every day.
Why you let these motherfucking clones on my throne? Bitch, get up, daddy's home. Let it be known. All through these inner streets, where niggas ride. Out of eye and fucking traffic, where we collide. All I know up in this world is to survive. Take this money, take this girl, and take a lie. But I don't wanna, all I wanna do is bend the corner through the avenues without running up against the ooze. Mama get the bad news. Cousins already begging for my tennis shoe. West side till I die, let the ghetto sign. What you call a joint is a roach. Claustrophobic and coach. First class for that ass. Me and Jack is like the make. You got to have it, how long will your chatter last? Up in Sam Goody with your rap 9 and your hoodie. If you don't grab America's most, use a rookie. I got 5 oh, on everything.
Hey, Santa's coming down the block, you know. Let's go. Christmas lights are putting on a show. Got the stockings hanging by the tree. Feel the snow. West Coast Christmas, that's the way to be. Spread love every day.
Check it December 25th on the set. Christmas Eve hustling ain't been caught yet. Ho, 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 but we don't play no games. Santa Claus pockets full of Christmas change. Sleigh ride through the hood with the heat on my lap. Christmas stocking stuffed with that cash stack. Rudolph's no red, but my eyes stay bright. Christmas morning serving, everything's tight. Gift wrap bundles under my Christmas tree. North Pole Connect got that green cheek. Jingle all the way to the blockhouse spot. Christmas bells ringing when the streets get hot. Silent night, money night, that's the code. Christmas paper flowing on this winter road. Mrs. Claus cooking while I count my bread. Moving Christmas packages, keeping feds misled.
Ho, ho, hey! Santa's coming down the block, you know.
I've been so patient, so good on you. Oh, yeah. But I don't have to wait for snow to know how much you care. Oh, yeah. A star on your tree, an angel's melody. Every day is Christmas time with you. You bring me flowers on a random summer night. My baby don't need mistletoe to love me right. When you look at me, it's like the very first time. Eyes lit up like a holiday light, so bright.
sweetest sound. It doesn't come close to the way I feel when you're around. Don't bother asking Santa for a gift. I know everything you wanted, boy, I'm checking off your list.
Baby, 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 you always wrap me up in love when I'm with you. Yeah, you got me, la 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 la.
My name is Ita Sedu, and I'm Ita Sedu of A Different Book List. And I want to talk about my sense of belonging and a feeling of belonging in this country. And it's important to say that I feel I belong here. Because when you do that, you have a sense of hope and a sense of positiveness. If you don't feel like you belong to something, that's a lot of alienation. But my sense of belonging is the first day that I visited the National Library of Canada. And there I was. I was a young author, and the library had invited me to be a storyteller. And I walked into the great halls of the National Library of Canada. I mean, I'm giving it a little French accent there, right? And I walk through the doors and I take in all of there is that is Canadiana, if you will. And this wonderful woman greeted me and she said, "Oh, good afternoon, Miss Ita." See, she said, "Ita Sadu. And welcome to the National Library of Canada." And she beamed and I grew a little bit taller. Huh? And then another lady appeared just like that. And she said, "Ah, Miss Sadu, let me take you upstairs to show you where you are cataloged as a Canadian author." And in that moment, I grew even taller. She had just told me that I was now part of Canadian history and I had made my mark in this great institution. And in that moment, I felt a sense of pride and belonging. And then I'm going to fast forward some years later and I'm giving birth. And you've got a picture of this giving birth with me. I'm working hard on this birth. This is like 12 hours of some serious, intense pressure. This was the greatest exam that I've ever been. And the thing about this exam that I was in, there wasn't any job description or preparation for this exam. 9 women in the room, all working with me, and I'm trying to get this baby out. And the clock is ticking away. We're almost at midnight. And I've been working on this baby all day, Canada Day. And the doctor, my doctor, I took him away from his family. He had taken his family out for a picnic and a bar. And I had to call the man to say, "I need some help here because this baby is stuck." And we're working and 9 women are working with me and my husband is working. And a whole stadium is cheering for this new life. And baps at 5 minutes to midnight on Canada Day, my daughter was born. And from that moment on, I had bragging rights. And every time people would say to me, "How is your daughter doing?" I would always start with a story. "You know, my daughter was born on Canada Day, eh?" And they would be like, "Oh my God, no." See? And in that moment, I felt a great sense of belonging, that here I had given a gift to the world and the world had given me a gift, but it took place on Canada Day.
Watch the sun, watch out, anything now shock out, get wash out. Watch out the king, the boat, and the queen, I come out, patch out, spread red carpet. One thing we have to tell on us, watch out. Adam Ernst. Adam Ernst. Watch me now, it name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the deck, me a the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them want to give me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call on me to over me, man a fight. And that now one, no time in a them life.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
Well, hear this. Tell them, Ita.
Hey, where you come from? As long as you're a black man.
A black woman or a black child.
No mind your nationality. You have got the identity.
And perspicacity.
Cause if you come from Clarendon,
don't matter.
And if you come from Portland, and if you come from Westmoreland, you're an African.
Because coming to you all the way from West Africa, you country called Nigeria, is the brother called Prince Ogona, soon to be king. And he's coming to tell you about news and views that happening to about from Africa and the diaspora.
Identity of an African.
Prince Ogona.
Yes, Kuman was to plan to manage all of our business. And if you come from Africa, vibe. Our first piece is from Democracy Now. Here we are going to be talking to Leila El Haddad, Palestinian writer and journalist from Gaza, who just visited Cordia. She talks about the growing calls to release Palestinian protester Lekha Cordia, who was arrested at a 2024 Columbia University during the Gaza Solidarity protest.
That's sort of the question that everyone is asking. I think partly because her case sort of fell between the cracks. She wasn't a student or a public-facing activist per se. She didn't have those support networks. And her case shares a lot in common. Of course, it's interwoven with the cases of all the others that we have heard of. Mahmoud Khalil, Mohsen Mahdawi, Dr. Badr Suri Khan, and Rumaysa Ozturk. But it just didn't get the kind of attention that the other cases got early on. Even though, as you summarized earlier, even though two judges have actually called for her release and found that she is not deportable to Israel. Unfortunately, the government has been blocking those decisions through various legal maneuvering, and that's partly why she's still being held under very harsh conditions, as she herself attested to. Lekha Cordia has been held and has argued in court that that her detention is unconstitutional, that it violates the First and the Fifth Amendments, and it's simply part of a broader trend that we have seen post-Trump to crack down on any dissent and use immigration law to weaponize immigration law to silence dissent and to criminalize free speech, especially when that speech relates to Palestine, to defending Palestinian life, to criticizing Israel, and to challenging U.S. policy, just as we have seen in all of these other cases. She was motivated to act and to protest, exercising her First Amendment rights, which are available to her, even as a non-citizen. Just like so many other people, she was spurred to action by her humanity, in as much as she was spurred to action by her own personal loss. Lekha was born in Jerusalem, raised in the occupied West Bank under Israeli military occupation. Her mother is from Gaza. She was separated from her for 20 years because of the Israeli blockade and was keeping in constant touch with her. She came to the United States legally, and her petition for residency was approved to reunite with her mother. She was caring for her mother and her younger brother, who has special needs. And she, very crucially, 200 of her family members, 13 since the so-called ceasefire took place, have been killed by Israel with the support and the complicity of the United States. And for all these reasons, and for the reasons that millions of us took to the streets, she was protesting not only at the gates of Columbia, but at many other protests as well.
I mean, she was arrested last March. It was just days after Mahmoud Khalil was arrested, the Columbia student, and right before Mohsen was arrested. They have both been released. Mohsen's back at Columbia University. But she remains in jail. Can you talk about what she looks like now? I understand she's lost about a third of her body weight.
Yes, she looked very pale. She has lost a significant amount of weight. That is correct. And she has been detained, as you mentioned, in this ICE jail for almost 10 months, despite this judge calling for her release, despite finding that her prolonged detention is likely unconstitutional. And despite all this, she marked also her 33rd birthday, a very solemn 33rd birthday, in which she spoke about how the other women with her in that facility tried to cheer her up, and they formed a kind of sisterhood and bond. And she advocates on their behalf. Despite all this, in her words, she says the conditions here are designed to break the human spirit, but that despite all this, she derives hope and inspiration from all of the people that continue to advocate on her behalf, and that it has only increased her resolve to continue to be an advocate and an activist, not only for all of these women, but more broadly for Palestinian liberation when she gets out, inshallah.
In the next piece, we have independent journalist Jasper Nathaniel, who has recently returned from documenting Israeli settler and state violence against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank.
So it's in a village called Termasaya, which interestingly is a 80 to 90% American citizen. Citizens live in this village, and so the reason I mentioned that
U.S. Israeli citizen settlers.
No. Palestinian American citizens living in this village. So the village is actually largely built on the American economy, because a lot of the people who live there go back and forth. They have businesses in the U.S. and then they maintain homes in their ancestral land in Termasaya. So the person that I was with that day, he's a farmer and he's also an attorney in Anaheim. So, you know, this is important because these people should be protected by the U.S. Embassy, by the State Department, just as much as I should. So basically, the olive fields attached to Termasaya, which belong to the residents there, have been occupied by these really violent settlers over the past couple of months. And anytime farmers have tried to get to their land, they've been attacked. And so this year, for the olive harvest, which is a really important event every year for Palestinians, both because there's a sort of deeper significance to it, but also because it's their livelihood, the olive harvest this year, they decided to all go out together as one group in hopes that they would have protection in numbers, basically. And so I was embedded with the Palestinian farmers on that day, on October 19th. And basically what happened was, as soon as we started driving into the olive fields in a sort of caravan, a settler who I later learned is a sort of infamous leader of the local violent settlers stood in the middle of the road, brandished his pistol, pointed it at us, and was talking on his cell phone. And as he was talking, settlers started appearing behind him. And so we understood, okay, they know we're here, they know we're coming, and they're prepared for us. So the caravan turned around and we found another way into the olive fields. We were there for a bit. It was not a great harvest this year, mostly because of the weather and climate change. So then when it was time to leave the olive fields, on our way out, we were trapped. There were basically two ways out. One road, there were settlers blocking us. And the other road, there was an Israeli military jeep. And so I was talking to the farmer that I was with, Yasser, and we decided that the safest bet would be for me to actually get out of the car and try to talk to the Israeli soldiers. And
you're a Jewish American.
I'm a journalist. Jewish American and a white American, frankly. And the person I was with is a Palestinian American who has brown skin. And so, you know, it's frankly very dangerous to drive towards Israeli soldiers or even to walk towards them. And so we decided, as, you know, the white Jewish American, they were less likely to shoot me, frankly. And so I walked up to the soldiers and I was waving my arms and they were aiming their rifles at me, which is just sort of standard procedure when soldiers talk to you in the West Bank. And I said to them very clearly, we need help getting out of the olive fields because there are settlers blocking us in who are not letting us out. We're just trying to get back into the village of Termasaya. They sort of questioned me. They wanted to know what I was doing there. I think they were kind of confused to see me in the olive fields. And finally, they said, okay, get back in the car and we'll help you get out.
In next one, we speak with Amnesty International researcher Budo Hassan, who talks about the sharp rise of illegal settlements in the occupied West Bank under Israel's current far-right government.
These 19 settlements that were approved yesterday can be divided into three types. First of all, already existing outposts that are even illegal according to Israeli law that were retroactively approved. The second type is neighborhoods inside settlements that were approved as independent settlements and altogether new settlements that were approved. Just in May, also 22 settlements had already been approved by the Israeli government, which only entrenches the apartheid system we're seeing in the West Bank and is showing how intricately related the relationship between settler, state-backed settler violence and Israeli policies to grab more Palestinian land, to forcibly transfer Palestinians and to cement the presence of illegal settlements. Obviously, all settlements are illegal under international law. They are all war crimes. But to see how Israel even retroactively legalizes settlements or outposts that were even illegal according to its own laws just shows this really huge relationship between what Israeli settlers are doing on the ground and what Israeli policymakers are putting in law and practice. So the disengagement law was passed by Israel in 2005, and according to which Israel unilaterally withdrew from the Gaza Strip and removed settlements, at least four settlements existing in the occupied West Bank in the Jenin area. This law was initially cancelled, repealed by the Israeli, after a decision by the Israeli government, and it was amended so that the four settlements in the Jenin area are now, have been renewed, have been approved again. So earlier this year we've seen the approval for the construction of two of these settlements, and now we're seeing the two, Kadim and Ganim, the two settlements near the Jenin area, being approved again. And we cannot look at this approval of this settlement in separation of the policies that Israel is conducting in the northern West Bank, especially in Jenin refugee camps, in Tul Karim refugee camp, and in Nur Shams refugee camp, where Israel's mass systematic destruction of Palestinian homes and the mass forcible transfer of Palestinians, prohibiting Palestinian refugees from returning to their land, goes hand in hand with the policies and the approval of these four settlements.
Next, we go to Black Radio, the radio. We have John Parker, who is the coordinator of the Harriet Tubman Center for Social Justice in Los Angeles and a leading member of the Struggle for Socialism Party. He comes to discuss his entry to Venezuela as part of the People's Assembly for Peace and Sovereignty of Our Americas. Stay tuned.
In my case, I was glad to get, we got the visa and stuff to go, but the flights were just so difficult to try to get, so had to just find one, then find another one, and just overbook or just have the frequent flights, and so I had to cancel another one. But otherwise, if we didn't do it that way, we wouldn't have been able to go. It was expensive, but we felt it was so important to do this right now. And one of the most important things of these People's Assembly is that it shows that the blatant lie of the justifications for war. You know, the over 83 people or so who have been killed by the strikes by the U.S. against fishermen and other folks, and we know that's a violation of law. It's they're breaking the law so blatantly. If it's not an armed combat or something like that, that's the excuse you can use. They don't even have that excuse. They just kill people as they're holding on to a boat that was hit before, and they say kill them all. Sounds like what they said in the, against the Korean people by the United States. But when they went to the oil tanker and took over the oil, stole the oil tanker from the Venezuelans, not allowing them to give oil to Cuba, it just shows that there was no drugs on that boat, there was oil. So it just shows that when they use these justifications over the history of, from the Lusitania to Gulf of Tonkin to Libya to Iraq, and they just show that they lie, and unfortunately the corporate media goes along with pushing these wars. And right now they're doing it, they're saying dictatorship, Maduro is a dictator. But you know, it's interesting, the Army and Navy had a game, they do those football games or something there, and they had it in Baltimore, and Trump flew in a helicopter to the game. And there was a demonstration there, but folks noted that there was so much security, you couldn't get near this person.
We have our last piece from Black Agenda Radio, where the host of the Black Liberation Media Program discussed the issue of birthright citizenship in light of the Supreme Court agreeing to hear arguments on Trump's proposal to restrict birthright citizenship to the children of citizens and permanent residents.
I'm very happy to be here. This was more because with so much happening right now, and with the fact that, you know, SCOTUS has now decided that they're going to actually have this conversation, even though it's not going to happen until the spring, and who knows how long it'll be before anything happens. And you had written this article a while back for Black Agenda Report And so for me, this all came together in such a way that I felt like we needed to jump on it and discuss it now. There's a lot of, I get called Parasite and Tether and Anchor Baby often. And it's not so fun to be in like black spaces where you feel like we should all be on the same page. And then that's what comes to you. And as these things move forward, I am often reminded of how much people don't understand that where the boat delivered your ancestors is almost irrelevant when it comes to the mistreatment here in this country and what eventually is bound to come along no matter what your ancestry actually is. And so, you know, given all of that, I just felt like it was on Twitter that you posted it when the SCOTUS announcement went out. You were like, I've been warning y'all. And you posted it, and I was like, oh, it's time. We got to get Margaret on.
Thank you again. I love talking about this subject.
As a sort of preface, given what you said, Renee, about the and what you've experienced and we've all been struggling with in one form or another, this what I think is a very, well, at least it's overtly politically aligned with the white right and conservative, but these hashtag efforts of ADOS, FBA, and other efforts to conservatize Black diaspora relations, to disrupt them, quite as has been expressed in counterintelligence program pages, even recently in the British press, as the interest in creating disunity and not in preventing the spread of Pan-Africanism and scientific socialism, et cetera. So I'm wondering to what extent you, Margaret, have engaged with that particular set of politics, and to what extent your birthright citizenship arguments may be even an indirect response to some of their claims, encouraging us to, again, target immigrants, disaggregate from other Black diaspora communities, et cetera, and so forth, here in Black America.
All right. I don't care if your nanny was black, or you ate grits for breakfast every morning, and you knew a girl in high school, a black girl, and she was nice. I don't care if your nanny was black because Michael Griffiths is dead, killed by white youths who got her free, even though witnesses testified to their crime. So I don't care, you hear? I don't care because black woman Tawana Brawley was raped by four white cops who are still out on the street, and Donald Trump takes out a three-page ad in the New York Times calling for the death of six black youth accused of raping a white woman. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school and she was nice. I don't care, you hear? I don't care, cause for too long we have held our pain in our very flesh. For too long our bleeding hearts in our chest. For too long our eyes have seen what they can no longer bear to see. Our anger will rise like a red flood and spread across this land. Tear down monuments built on our blood and cast away false idols, and we will tear down this wall, tear down these walls, tear down these walls of this Jericho, of this Toronto. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school and she was nice. I don't care, you hear? I don't care. Minokia, you hear? Minokia. I don't care, you hear? I don't care.
And of course, says it right. Because when we worry about those things, we don't do things right. Because when we worry about whether Babylon do us harm, and we just roll over and take it and take some more harm and take some more harm, is troublesome.
Take, for example, we were enslaved and brought to the West here. And we still kept in slavery. And some of us are very much collaborating with Babylon to maintain this kind of system. Although when we look around, we see we are one of the ones at the bottom of the system and being trampled on constantly. I don't know how many people would like this, but it is true. We're still being trampled, and the collaborators and them think that they're getting honor, but they're not getting honor because the first time Babylon say, look, we don't need you, they will be cast out. It has happened before, and it constantly happens. The argument is that we should get together and strengthen ourselves through collaboration with each other and one another, and those who are also suffering, we have to let them asunder. We keep up this fight because we know we are right, and constantly going from morning till night. But we must liberate ourselves, because Babylon will not liberate us for no reason whatever. We have no fear, because we are always here. Whether it's Fantastic Friday, or whether it's people in this diaspora, but we have to make a united diaspora.
Hello, Rico. What's this program all about? Come on, play some music.
Okay, we're going to play the music, but first you must understand the music and the commentary. They are both towards edutainment, education and entertainment. Here we go, boom! Anyhow, whatever technical problems we're having, we will ratify it soon, and we will get the whole crew. Hi. Good morning, Rachel. Good morning to all of us who have been in the show and attached to the show very strongly.
Some distant foreign land, I'll be where Jamaican Christmas breezes blow. They tell me snow is pretty, well maybe. What I know for sure, it's mighty cold. I would never, never, never be caught playing a cricket match on ice, in or out of